Check it out.
Josh.
We back.
Ream. I don't know. I wanted to do some sort of pre-wand-off-wand-offing and predicting that that's probably a song we'll hear later in the podcast. Okay. No one?
Look, I don't want to have any spoilers for the wand-off, and also I don't want to get any complaints about the wand-off being in the not-wand-off part of the podcast.
But it's so rare,
Josh Wigler, for you to be singing not as Wanda.
It is a little strange.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just got to be real with you all.
Okay, good. I
just
got to
be the real me. Yeah.
Keeping it real, because it would be lame if you weren't being real.
So lame.
Yes.
People are so lame. Rob, we're a little all over the place to launch into a new season of The Wiggle Room. Like, we're kind of like just hopping into it like we're mid-season. But I just have to say that having listened to your podcasts over the past week of coverage of the Edge of Extinction premiere, my heart sings with how much you enjoy Ream Daily. My greatest hope was that you were going to love that. And you've exceeded my expectations. You are the number one Ream Daily fan, and it makes me very, very happy.
She's great. I think she's an iconic first boot, and excited to see more from her. I mean, who knows what we're going to get from Ream?
You know, I have this fantasy that with like the way that David versus Goliath was edited, and like, you know, it was very tricky with the storytelling, and they were starting to get very experimental. And like, you feel like the biggest positive to come out of the Edge of Extinction twist might be that Survivor could be very strange format wise this year. Like, you could get really wonky episodes. My pie in the sky dream is that this episode this week is basically like 80% Ream Daily and 20% Survivor, where like she's wondering what's happening back at the beach, and you get like a 30-second glimpse, then you're back with Ream Daily. She's wondering, oh, I bet they're doing a challenge now, and you just see like a 30-second mid-challenge snapshot of the challenge. You don't even know who wins, you don't even know who loses, and then the episode ends and she's joined by somebody else from one of the losing tribes. But it's just the Ream Daily episode the whole way through. I think people's minds would be blown. I think it would be unique and funky and different, and I think that there is probably a 0.0% chance of it happening. But in my head canon, in my fanfic, this is how the second episode of Edge of Extinction plays out.
We'll see. I mean, if there's stuff happening on the Extinction Island, you know, I don't have a problem that there's nothing better happening in the camp.
Yeah, just show us Ream, the live Ream.
Yeah,
this is what I want. I just wanted to see the Ream live stream.
Josh, who's the number one person we want to see sent to Extinction Island to mix it up with Ream?
Yeah, okay, so now we're really getting into it, okay? So, as usual, I was out on location for this. I got to see Tribal Council. It was intense. You and Arissa Cox, you talked about this in the voicemails, in the feedback show. And as she pointed out, she thought that the edit was kind to Ream. Mm-hmm. I think that that's probably true. It went for a very long time. I wrote about the Tribal Council up on HollywoodReporterThR.com/Survivor just to give a really early plug, where I went at length over how this, like, basically almost 2 hour Tribal Council went down, and it really was the Ream Daily experience all the way through. And she was going at it with just about everybody, but the two key people that I think would be really ideal for her to see next at the Edge of Extinction, should Manu lose again, would be Wentworth or Wardog. She and Wentworth really went to war. Like, she really decided, like, she was going to come into Tribal Council and she was going to take down the legend Kelly Wentworth, not really realizing that she had brought a knife to a gunfight, where Kelly Wentworth was really able to kind of diplomatically battle back against Ream. But Kelly Wentworth did get like kind of dinged up a little bit more than you would expect, maybe. That she was, I do think that like maybe she weathered a little bit of damage at that Tribal Council, that it was such a Ream smearing Kelly Wentworth as much as she possibly could and dragging her through the mud as much as she could. You wonder how effective it is. So if Kelly Wentworth were to show up at Extinction Island with Ream Daily, I think that fireworks would ensue. I think the War Dog and Ream Daily would be a delight as well, because he was like the only person, he was like the first person to like really readily always say, like, Reem the Dealist, is that you're super annoying. I just can't deal with it. It was amazing. It was amazing. So I think one of those two would, if you're looking for like conflict and drama, those would be the two that I would send. If you're looking for a friend, probably Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Friends are boring. Friends, they're, you know, just like.
I mean, there's potential there, right? Like, if it became like a Sandra Courtney thing, could be very funny. Right. You know, but I think you want some conflict early on, probably.
Conflict is good, Josh. That this is something that I haven't really heard anybody talk about. That we had that blow up at Tribal Council. You mentioned that Kelly was a little bloodied, not just from the immunity challenge at that Tribal Council, but do you feel like that was this a bit of malpractice on the part of the returning vets? And I guess I'll assign some blame to David as well, even though he wasn't the person who ended up getting too much of the shrapnel, at least not from what we saw in the episode. It sounds like that from what you guys saw, there was a little bit of that at the actual Tribal Council. Should they have done a better job of concealing this vote rather than letting it get back to Reem by way of Wendy?
But I don't think that it was. I mean, who tells Wendy? Is that a David move? Is he the guy who lets Wendy know that this is what's going on?
From what I remember from the episode, I believe that the War Dog is tasked to go feel out Wendy. And then it's War Dog and David who go and tell Wendy. And then they tell Wendy that it's going to be Reem. And she's like, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to vote for her. And so then ultimately Wendy, you know, tells Reem what's going on. And then Reem is now like, you know, the jig is up. And, and now she knows she's going home.
Here's something that I think is exciting about this season. One of the things that I'm really the most excited about with Edge of Extinction is I think that this is a season that you would come into it and you would just automatically make some assumptions where, like, one, the twist automatically is going to be terrible. Two, the returning players are automatically going to be able to run roughshod over the rest of these new survivors, because that is historically how it goes. You don't have a season that's a mix of returnees and new players, and a returnee doesn't at the very least make it to the final Tribal Council. But my experience with I think, you know, where we are in the history of Survivor, that we are 38 seasons deep into this thing, and it's been a little while since we've seen this exact mix on Survivor. It's been since Fans versus Favorites that they've done something like this. It's been since Blood versus Water since they've done something like this, as far as I can remember. I feel like people that they're casting people that are going to be a little wiser than they would have been maybe 12 seasons ago, to really be ready to, like, not just completely sit down and take orders from the returning players, and not beyond that to realize, like, this is our time. It's like the Goonies moment. This is our time down here. Down here is our time. It's their time up there. They had their time. I'm taking this coin back. I'm taking them all back for all the people who've let the poverty shallows of the world get to the end. So I think that we may be in an era where there are more people who are going to be thinking that way, because that's certainly the right way to think about it. But beyond that, they did end up casting some people that I think that the best returning player would have a hard time reining in. I think the best returning player would have a really difficult time telling Wendy Diaz what to do. I think that Wendy is going to march to the beat of her own drummer. I think that Wendy wears her freak flag proudly, and it's painted blue, and she loves it, and she's going to march in the direction she's going to go. And if she doesn't want to vote for her friend Reem, even though Reem is going down, she will go down with the ship. So I think to, like, rein in Wendy is probably not an easy option. I think you could say the same thing about a guy like War Dog, just based on the experience that I had sitting across from him. This was a man who was coming in ready to play his game. And I think that that's true of a lot of the different players across this season. So to say that it's like Wentworth or David Wright's fault for, like, not locking that down enough, you have to tell some people, you know, you have to gain numbers on your side to make the vote happen. And I think War Dog specifically would be like the type of guy that if he wants to try and feel out Wendy or let Wendy in on the plan, he's going to do that, because that means, you know, he's not going to take orders from Kelly. He's not going to take orders from David. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to make sure to keep his options open. So I don't know. I don't blame David or Kelly for this specifically. I think that a lot of the new players, and this was my feeling out there on location, was I thought that the Venn diagram of, like, people who are great personalities and great players just from like first instinct, first impressions of talking to them. But like, there weren't like a ton of people in that center portion of the diagram, but a lot of people who were going to be like incredibly incensed characters, or some like really stealth players on the other end of the spectrum. And I think that in this particular episode, at this particular tribal council, I think a lot of that combustible material showed up, where you have someone like Wendy who's just going to tell it how it is. She's going to vote for her friend Reem. Wardog, who's going to tell it how it is, he's just going to vote for Reem, and Reem is not going to take this quietly. It's a lot of rambling, but it led to really amazing stuff, and I don't know who you blame other than we're in a weird cauldron of Survivor right now, and it's kind of a fun time, at least for as a spectator sport. I think that this is interesting stuff.
Okay, let me just reset here at the top of the podcast that we sort of just went right into it.
We reamed dailied into it.
Right. We may have some new listeners here just to reset this podcast in particular. This is The Wiggle Room. We talk every week here to Josh Wiggler, who writes about Survivor for THR. That stands for The Hollywood Reporter. Josh was out on location for the start of this Survivor season, and we'll get into some of his stories. But what we like to do here is talk about the big picture, the story of the season, if we can. Whenever we have that opportunity, we'll also talk about a lot of the nonsense too along the way. And it all culminates in a user-generated music competition where people are going to be writing in songs in the second half of the podcast. And then we're going to have a countdown of the honorable mentions and the top hit songs of the week every single week. And the winner of the contest gets a hat. And at the end of the season, the person who writes, and I guess we should probably at some point have a summit about how we're going to do this for the end of this season before it's too late. The winner of it all will get a Wombats jacket.
Wow, that was very succinct. That was everything. You just fully explained the Wiggle Room.
Just want, you know, we'll have it out there, and then we don't have to reset that again for the rest of the season until we get to season 39. Okay, Josh, let's talk a little bit about your experience out in Fiji, and I am, you know, very keen to hear anything else from your experience that you can share with us. You had a great tweet; it went viral, talking about some of the mat chat happening at the start of season 38.
Yeah, so Dalton Ross wrote the greatest article in Survivor journalism history, which was this incredible chronicling of the like the everything that it takes to pull off a Survivor marooning. Like, we should all retire. That's it. That's the article. It's phenomenal. And if you have not read it yet, you really ought to do it. But it stops right before the marooning starts. And the marooning that we all get to see as Survivor viewers from that moment forward is like a 10-minute thing, if that. You know, it goes really, really quickly in the episode because you only have an hour to work with in this episode, technically less because of commercials. The marooning plays out longer in person, and it had some really great moments. It had some very funny stuff. The best part being, like, I had been wondering how Dan Da Silva was going to pass himself off as the war dog to Jeff Probst and the rest of his contestants. Because it wasn't a matter of, like, is he going to do that? It was how he's going to do that. He's going to go by the war dog, and that is just how it's going to be. And so he introduces himself as the war dog. It gets a pretty decent laugh from everybody who's a little bit like shocked and confused that this man who looks like Tony Vlachos is coming into the game known as the war dog. Jeff seems to play ball with it. I think the line that he eventually said at Tribal Council when he's like gut checking everybody for their nicknames, this was behind the scenes, he was trying to rein that in a little bit. He said, "War dog, you can be war dog because I'm starting to be convinced that you don't have another name." So the war dog just took on. Jeff starts asking other people questions at the marooning, asking them to identify themselves, you know, the typical stuff that he does at the start of a season of like, person in the blue hat, what's your name? Person in the purple shirt, who are you? He asks that of Rick Devins, to which Rick Devins replies, "Well, this is awkward. My name is also the war dog." And it was incredible. You know, we're not on the boat as press. We're on a different barge, and we have like a decent view of the action at the main boat of the marooning. We can't see exactly what's going on, but we can hear stuff. Like we've got the ability to listen in on what's going on and everybody who's mic'd up on the boat. And, you know, we're trying not to like make any noise because we just want the sanctity of the game to be preserved. But we all very nearly just like burst out laughing at that. It was one of the funniest things I've ever heard on location in terms of somebody just like really throwing it out there at the start of the game. This is a very, very powerful burst of comedy from the great Rick Devens.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you was how hard was it to resist a classic Josh Wiggler belly laugh?
It was, you know, I'm good out there. Like I really try to rein it in. I respect the process, but that was tough. It was hard. It was definitely difficult.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your experience with Ream. Can you tell us anything about your encounter with Ream in the preseason?
Ream was phenomenal. Ream was one of the final people that I spoke with. I think she was the second or third to last person that I talked to in the preseason. And the interviews were done across two different days. The first day it was with all the returning players who they kept not only separate from the main cast, but separate from each other. They were, you know, divided based on Kelly and David were together and Joe and Aubrey were together, and they were not able to see who they were going to be up against in terms of the other returning players. The next day they had all of the new players in coming in a rotation. It's a long day to talk to 14 different people. You know, you're talking about like, you know, sun up to sun down pretty much without, you know, maybe like a couple of breaks here and there, but not a lot. And so Ream Daly is a pretty intense person to have like at the end of that kind of a day, you would think. But she actually kind of just like rolled in. She had like some snacks with her. She was eating some kind of bag of chips. She had like a cold water with her. She like plopped down in the chair across from me. I had to be like, I think the chips are bad for audio. She puts the chips down. She's game for that.
Well, I have a clip from when you guys first get together, and then I want to ask you about this. This is from Josh Wiggler's critically acclaimed series, First One Out, which we put out on Rob Has a Podcast and on THR a couple of weeks ago. Here is Josh's first encounter with Ream Daly.
Chapter 3, Part 6, Dreams.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Life is great. We're here in sunny Fiji.
Cool spot.
It's not bad, huh? It's literally cool.
Yeah, it is.
This will be the, I mean, I guess I haven't seen everybody else's setup, but I imagine that this will be among the cooler setups.
Dude, you are hydrated. Nice job.
I am trying. I'm doing my best. It gets toasty out here.
Right?
And I schwitz, so I'm trying to...
You're
it's
not
true.
Alone.
I'm sure. So the one thing I'll warn you about before we start is the table's sensitive for the audio. Mm-hmm. So if we could just, like, not touch it as much as we can, I will probably violate that rule.
I'll try not to eat, too. That's
yes,
a bad idea.
Absolutely. Okay. So, hi.
Hi. How I'm Ream Daly.
I'm Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Very nice to meet you.
Great to meet you.
How are you feeling?
Excited.
This is wild.
Very, very excited. I mean, I can't even believe it. It hasn't really, I mean, even though I'm in the middle of who knows where, I still
somewhere
feel like
in
I'm
PhD.
In a dream. I feel like I'm in a dream.
This feels dreamlike to you.
Yeah, it just hasn't hit me. I mean, I don't know. It's bizarre. I had a dream last night, actually, that I was playing a weird game of Survivor with, like, some friends, and I was going to get voted out, and I was pissed because I was like, dude, what are you doing? And it was all because they thought this guy was hot. And I'm like, that's not going to work. So I was like, and I woke up and I'm like, oh, thank God. That was so weird. So
you've...
Ream. It wasn't a dream.
It's amazing. It was real. It happened. A lot of that. The only one I ever know is the first one out. And so when you go back and you listen to this stuff, and you listen to the one where, like, you know what happened to them, it always makes it for a weird experience for me anyway. And listening back to the Ream one, there's a lot of stuff like that. There's a lot of material that we left on the cutting room floor for the First One Out series that I'm rolling out on THR still, since we don't have exit press. So I've been doing these things called retro interviews where we're looking back at some of the like the B-sides from First One Out and like all of that crosstalk stuff that's usually in First One Out that wasn't in the series this time, of like all of the castaways weighing in on each other with their preseason assessments. That's all here. Those are going to be posting on Thursday mornings in like the typical exit interview spot. So I posted one for Reem, and I was digging through and trying to just like pull together, you know, some of the quotes for the article. And I got to her talking about how she was going to avoid being voted out first. This is what she said. She said to me, "You should always be concerned. Don't go into anything feeling super cocky. I'd like to say the force is strong with me and I won't go home first. I'm certainly not going to be a jackass at camp. I'll be helpful. I'll be polite. I'll be kind. I won't be out there saying something stupid like this is the best tribe ever, hashtag shots fired at Jacob Derwin. If we do go to tribal council, I won't be whispering in people's ears. That's never a good idea.
Boy.
Just saying. You don't want to fly under the radar, but you also don't want to be an idiot. Watch your mouth. Know your tribe before you speak. But that's kind of my fear. I sometimes have a big mouth." So I don't know. Certain aspects of the Reem Daily self-fulfilling prophecy, I think, did come through.
Yeah.
But how was my experience with Reem?
Well, I just want to just touch on that. I get the opportunity to comment on your conversation with her, that I feel like that you give us these breadcrumbs sometimes, and that when we listen to First One Out, you called the chapter title Dreams.
Yes.
She talks about her dream where she got voted out. And I know you too well to imagine that that was a coincidence.
It's also the name of the final chapter of the Ghost Zero First One Out, which is the reveal of the First One Outs from that season. So, yeah, that was deliberate.
Mm-hmm. She went to Extinction Island in the way you went to Ghost Island.
I don't want to know what was in the water at Extinction Island. I did not drink any out there, so I have no idea. But I'm sure the odds of her tripping balls and seeing some legends from Survivor lore are fairly high.
She's already seen a Tony clone.
I think she's probably seen at least one or two Tony clones, maybe a rocket ship. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Josh, so on THR, you published all of the crosstalk that people had to say about Reem. Anything that you want to highlight from that piece that's up at thr.com/survivor?
Yeah, I mean, I think it seemed like a lot of people had sort of the assessment of Reem that she would have liked to have rejected. I think there's a little bit of that mom talk that she was really not happy with at Tribal Council, and it made it to the cut in the episode. She was really not pleased with like being painted with that brush, and totally understandable. But there were people who were going in on that in their preseason assessments of her. I think that Aurora McCreary, who we did not get to see nearly enough from in this first episode, who I loved out there. I thought that she was a blast and has the potential of being just like a really stellar, unique character in Survivor history. She had a really compelling take on Reem as far as how it eventually played out with Reem. I think that that's the, I like having these in the preseason, but I think that having them here now, especially when we don't have exit material to really be working with this season of Survivor, it can be really interesting to see like who called their shot on how things eventually worked out. I think that Aurora gets fairly close. This is what Aurora says to me. She says, "I think she's going to get into fights with people. I think she doesn't realize how eccentric and vocal she is. She gets so excited by the littlest things. When food comes out, she's all woohoo, which is great, but people are going to be annoyed by it. Who was the swim coach who had the Wisconsin accent? She took the New York mobster's alligator shoes and threw them away. She's asking me this question. I say, Holly Hoffman. And Aurora very excitedly goes, Holly, I think that's who she's going to be like. She has the crazy eyes. I see some Holly Hoffman in her." Yeah, but I think that there was, you know, that worst
could've
case
gone
upside.
Sideways.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that you wonder with someone like Reem if she had been able to, like, have this thing that happened in those first couple of days where she is moving people's clothes and not dropping them in the ocean like the alligator shoes into the river in Nicaragua, but moving people's stuff without their permission, which did seem like a decently big deal at tribal council. If somebody is able to confront her, if Manu wins that immunity challenge, and is she able to learn from that and grow from that and have some kind of rebound where she is able to become a better player? Does she have that in her? The good news is, I guess we maybe potentially have the chance to find out.
Yeah.
So is the journey now? Does Reem Daly have Holly Hoffman upside? Who knows?
Okay. Josh, Reem is over on Extinction Island. And from what I understand, you had the opportunity to visit Extinction Island. And hopefully you did not have nearly as harrowing of a stay as you had on Ghost Island.
I did not. I did stay on Extinction Island. I got to stay there it was day one of Survivor. So while all the people are out and about doing their thing at their tribe camps, I was the schlub just mucking it up on Extinction Island and really getting a lay of the land.
Solo?
It was just me. Me plus, you know, there was a producer out there. Right. I don't think that they would let me die, but I think more importantly, they wouldn't want me to sabotage the set on the first night of the game when somebody would potentially be going there a couple of days later. So I was out there. There isn't any kind of like big epic podcast, anything about it, largely because there's nothing to do out there. Mm-hmm. There is nothing to do out there. Yeah. There, like the coolest stuff to do out there, probably the first one is stargazing. Stargazing is nice out there. The big mast that has like the flag that you can raise if you choose to quit the edge of extinction.
I don't think we've gotten that.
Sure. This is what's out there.
There's literally a white flag that you raise to quit.
Yes. So you get dropped off at Extinction in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Okay. You get dropped off by boat. You've got a torch in your hand. You get off and you get onto the beach and there is zero in the way of instruction. You are landing on the beach with both feet sturdily. I very nearly did not. I arrived on a particularly windy evening, and that's the only reason why I almost fell out of the boat. Definitely has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a very clumsy fellow. But I had a big torch that I almost put out in the water, made it to the beach.
Did you get dropped off at night? Like how?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Pitch black. Yeah. Nothing going on. Nothing to see. Moon was out, so there's some nice moonlit stuff that you're able to see. But otherwise, you know, it's just you and that first torch that you get when you show up there. So at least they give you that starting fire. Hopefully you can do something with it. I don't know if Reem's going to be able to. It's raining the night that she shows up, so I'm not optimistic. So you get there, and what exists is first major thing you're probably going to see is a giant flagpole. It's like this big ship mast. The art design out there on Extinction Island is to basically evoke one ship has wrecked here and maybe one person survived and they used the wreck of the ship to build whatever they could, including a shelter that's a little bit far back that is a really, really raggedy shelter that is very difficult to sleep on just for one individual, let alone however many of these people are going to be ending up out there. Really, really tough to sleep on that bed with lots of holes in it. There's like a sort of like a, it looks like a, the rib cage of like a beached whale that is out there as sort of like the front yard furniture of the shelter. There's really nothing useful there. I guess you could probably hang your clothes up on that, would be my guess.
That's good for Reem. She could take the clothes down and put them in the sand.
You know, she's got like an actual like kind of a dry, you know, clothesline. I think that could work. I don't really know what else you would use that for. And then beyond that, there is this ship mast that is right at the edge of this beach. There's a white flag at the base of it. And if Extinction Island proves to be too much for you at any time, you can raise that flag and you have officially quit. You're done. They will send a boat and they will come pick you up and you're finished. That's how that works. Mm-hmm. There's literally a white flag that you raise, and that is how you symbolically, visually, physically, officially declare your departure from Survivor Edge of Extinction if you have made it out to Extinction Island.
Do you think that a person leaving Extinction Island will get the dignity of Jeff seeing them off on their way, or they will just raise the flag, a boat will come, and they will just walk off into the sunset?
I mean, I get, well, it's probably not going to walk off because they're on a beach.
Well, so they'll walk just off onto the boat. The boat is called Sunset.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
The SS Sunset.
The SS Sunset.
And then they will just walk away waving like a medical evacuation.
I guess it depends on like what Jeff's got going on.
Yeah, because you know, like, was Jeff going to stand around all day in case somebody wants to quit? I mean, maybe they radio him like, all right, Jeff, stand by.
You know, it's not a crazy schlep from the center of the Survivor universe out there in Fiji, where a lot of the action goes on, to Extinction Island. I think it's, if I remember right, it was probably about like a half hour boat ride or so. So it wouldn't be like impossible to get Jeff out there in a decent amount of time. But if he's got like an immunity challenge or something to do,
right,
he's got other stuff going on.
You know, it's a big decision to make, because if he does it for one person, you know, he probably has to do it for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. So, you think so?
And we don't know how this thing is going to play out. We don't know if a lot of people are going to quit. I asked this to Steven the other night, and maybe you have a better sense because you were there. How many people do you think over the course of the season will tap out on Extinction Island?
Well, I can't imagine anybody doesn't go.
Everybody will go.
Everybody's going to go. That should not be in doubt. Like, it's going to be like a really easy yes. There's going to be zero hesitation. You're just going to like sign up and you're going to go, because why not? Like, even like the signage at Tribal Council, like, yeah, doesn't warn you. Like,
it's inviting.
You could choose this option, but warning, it's going to be real hard. Like, there's none of that. It's literally just like, if you want to keep going, get back in. Everyone's going to go.
Josh, it would be an incredible TV moment if somebody's just like, oh, hell no, I'm out. Good night.
It would be. I don't think peace we'll out. See it, but it'd be phenomenal. That would be remarkable. But I got to imagine at least like 3 to 4 people are going to, you know, pretty thoroughly say no way. This mm-hmm. sucks. This is horrible. Not the least of which is including potentially Reem. I could see not wanting to put up with this. You know, one of the great things about Reem Daily, and I didn't express this enough, I really enjoyed talking to Reem. I had a blast talking to Reem. I had a blast talking with her on the record. I had a blast after the interview was over and we just like shot the shit about TV for the next like 10 minutes. She right. was fantastic. She's a super fun person to talk to, and I hope she's doing really well. And I would love nothing more than to see her be the person who gets back into the game from this. It would be very, very fun. But she also doesn't suffer fools easily, as we saw in the episode at Tribal Council. She's very much about like what's real, anything shady she's not into. Let me tell you something about Extinction Island. That place is shady. Like, not like literally shady with a lot of shade cover, but that's a place that doesn't tell you anything and there's nothing to do and you have no idea what you're there for. It's a very, very shady place. So I can imagine Reem not wanting to hang with that for too long, and I can imagine other people not wanting to hang with that for too long, and especially like depending on like who ends up out there. Like the inevitable moment that you imagine that Joe winds up out there, do you just resign yourself to the fact like, oh, well, Joe will probably be the one to get in, so I'm just going to go. Like, maybe that's what I would do. I don't know. So I would bet, I would say 3 to 4 people. I'll land on 4 just to push it a little further. I think 4 people will raise the white flag.
Mm-hmm. It would be interesting when somebody goes and then they come back into the game, if they have the opportunity to go back, if they're the person who's like, I'm not going back. No, yeah. No, don't send me back there.
Don't send me back there. Off. Oh, my God. It's such tight quarters there, too. So, yeah, just like to give like a little more of a sense of like the geography of the place. You have like that ship mast and they've got like some ship junk. Like some wreck junk that is like at the
some
base of the
junk?
Yes, some stuff that's like at the base of the mast, like that you would imagine
some,
was like
some wrecked junk at the base.
I didn't say Dr. Mike. You've got some wrecked junk at the base of the pole, which is up, and it's mostly like unusable. I think it's all just like art design and stuff. But there's a ship wheel that is like fastened to the back of the mast. And I don't know if it was by design or if I was just so bored and I figured it out. And if I figured it out, I have to imagine that the future inhabitants of Extinction Island figured it out as well, that ship mast ends up being like a lawn chair. that like you just gotta really just like kind of like dig your butt into the sand, lean your back against the ship mast, which is perfectly sturdy and isn't going to move at all. You dig your feet into the ground and you're basically like in an Adirondack chair and you could do some sweet stargazing. That is by far and away the coolest thing that you can do on Extinction Island as far as I was concerned. I spent like a solid 2 hours doing that, very peaceful, very zen-like. And like during that process, I kept thinking like, man, this is great for 2 hours. This is fun to do as like an overnight. But people are going to be miserable out here. People are going to be, it's going to be horrible. There's like no space anywhere. It's a big, you know, expanse of beach, but there's like no tree cover for any of this stuff. There's a little bit of jungle, you know, inside. There's like a little tiny bit of like the worst like hedge maze on the planet, basically. Like there's a little bit of like bush that you can get lost in and walk around in. Maybe people could play hide and go seek and tag and stuff like that if they get really bored. Mm-hmm. That could be something that they could do. There's not a lot to do. And if a lot of people are going to end up there and if they're going to try and sleep in that shelter, they're going to be miserable. They're going to kill each other. People are like going to get hurt. It's not going to be great. So by design, this is a place that is like designed for conflict, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out for sure.
Okay. All right. We will see how it plays out. See more
it's
of that.
It's also very cold. Very cold. Very, very, very cold. Very, very cold. Super cold. Really, really cold. Wind everywhere. There's no way of hiding from the wind. It's incredibly cold. It's terrible.
Okay. We'll see some of that with Reem on Wednesday night. We have a new segment that we want to try out here on the Wiggle Room. Last podcast of the week in terms of all of our Survivor stuff. And so we want to try something out. Three things nobody else is talking about. Three things nobody else is talking about. Just sort of a little bit of rapid fire to go through it. And so, Josh, you have your bag of things. Let's talk about three things nobody's talking about.
I think for this one, it should be more people. People for this first one.
It could be a thing, though.
Absolutely. I think three things. You know, we can work on the branding on this. But I think in terms of, you know, we had a 1 hour episode of Survivor. It's a, you know, with four of the people that are coming back are returning players and then 14 new people with just 1 hour. It's going to be hard to get to know everybody the way that we've been able to get to know people over the course of, you know, the 90-minute premieres, the 2-hour premieres. This has been beaten to death. Everybody knows this. So I think in the midst of this, there were a couple of people that were, you know, I think for the vast majority of people were like underserved just because of those limits. But then there were some people who were not served at all. I feel like people who did not get mentioned at all in the show, and I don't think have been mentioned much in the podcasting sphere since then. So let's give them a little bit of credit before this next week of Survivor.
Okay, number three.
Okay, number three. Well, I guess this person at least got a confessional. So that's fair. But we're not talking about Aurora enough. Aurora is phenomenal. Aurora is going to be magnificent television if she is able to make it deep into the game. She is like the person, she in her interview with me and with other people talking about how she knows that she can come across very aggressive. She knows that she has a hard time being friendly with certain people. She wants to test that. She wants to challenge that. But she also knows that that's going to be a very difficult thing for her to test and challenge. And that she also kind of wants to own it to a certain degree. That if she's a difficult person, then bring me along. Take me on. Bring me with you. Why not use me as a shield? She feels really confident in her smarts and her abilities to do really well in the game so that that's less of an issue. And I think that's going to be a very interesting personality to have in the mix here. We barely heard from her. We really only heard from her fawning over Joe with the great line of like, I'm gay and I like Joe, which was really amazing. So I love Aurora and I pray that we see a lot more of her moving forward because it was a criminal underserving of Aurora McCreary in this first episode.
Okay, you're gushing about Aurora.
She was great. She was one of my favorite people to talk to out there. She was fantastic in an interview, and I gotta imagine she's giving them confessional gold.
Okay, Josh, number two.
We did not get confessionals from these next two people, and the first we'll just stick with the Comet Tribe. We didn't hear from Julia at all. Heard a lot from Julie, but no Julia.
We actually mentioned her in number two on another podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Long story.
I missed that one. I really tried to listen to as much as I could. Which one was that?
She claimed that on Twitter, she said that she found out where the bathroom was when she stepped in it.
Oh, human poops?
We did not get that level of clarification.
Oh, my God. Well, we're going to have to... This is why this sucks that we don't have exit press. We'll never know.
I mean, I guess we know one day.
Perhaps. Unless they're all still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just never find out. I don't really have much to say about Julia other than I liked her. I thought she was one of those people who struck me as maybe wasn't going to be a huge character, but was one of the people that had the best game sense about them. I think somebody who could be a really deadly player, somebody who could really be one to watch out there, somebody who could slip through the cracks, somebody who could make friends easily, be really smart. A lot of people had her pegged in that regard. I guess she was her Ponderosa activity, something that I haven't weighed in on much yet. That'll be for hopefully a far future article for Julia's sake if she is knocked out of the game. We will lay all of that out there, but just to tease it, a lot of crossword puzzle action happening with her at Ponderosa before the game, and a lot of people picking up on that, and a lot of people thinking that she was a little bit closed off and seemed very cerebral. I think that those are, I don't know about the closed off part, but the cerebral part, I definitely got that med student, somebody who seems really intelligent, somebody who's been watching the show for forever, very articulate. I think that she could do some real damage if she's left unattended in the game. So even though we haven't heard much from her here, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out at some point down the line that she's a big player in a move or several moves.
This is something that you've touched on over these last couple of seasons with First One Apple. What is the ideal activity or reading material a player should have in Survivor pregame?
I think
coloring book.
Coloring book is good. I think something that makes you seem like fairly innocent. I think reading a fairly innocuous book that isn't about like how to win friends over and influence people, that kind of thing.
Bible. You like a Bible?
I think the Bible isn't bad. That's what Nick did, right? Like Nick apparently like he brought a Bible out there. He was trying to put out this like very religious vibe. A lot of people in the preseason were gathering that from Nick, and meanwhile Nick is saying to me and anyone else that, you know, I'm gonna just cut everybody down. He goes on to win. Very effective. I think the Bible, if you're willing to you know, to be like that, like I think
was that unfair that Nick had the spoilers for David versus Goliath ahead of time?
And he knew? Yeah.
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 It's good on him. Good on him. He predicted that. That was very, yes, very smart. I think coloring book is good. I think like a good, not terribly trashy, but like, it shows like Game of Thrones. Read Game of Thrones or read something like that. Something where like the other people will be like, oh, you like Game of Thrones? And then you can talk about that. Or like a book about baseball or a book about whatever. Like something that's just like fairly easy. Read that to calm your nerves. Read that to show people that you're a normal human being and that you will have something that they can talk to you about at some point once you hit the beach, I think is probably the best thing. I don't think that the puzzle stuff is necessarily bad. I think it's just, it alerts people to some of the stuff you're doing. And if you now need to be cramming on puzzles in the last couple of days before you go, you may have done this wrong.
Okay. Josh, number one.
Chris Underwood, we've really not seen at all. And Chris was a guy who, in our interview, last person I spoke to, everybody is waiting on me to wrap up the interview so we can all go and call it a press day. So I really want to try and get it done quickly. And then Chris ends up being one of, if not the longest person, longest interview that I spoke with. And he comes in hot. He comes in quoting the evolution of strategy, comes in, you know, really letting his Survivor freak flag fly, which is an unexpected thing from a guy, I think, of his aesthetic. This dude looks like Henry Cavill. You know, he looks like he is Survivor Superman. He doesn't look like Survivor Superfan. And he's a big fan. He's a big nerd for the show. And sometimes coming in a little too hot for my liking, but I appreciate the enthusiasm. But I didn't really know exactly how that would translate out into the show. I felt like at the very least he would be very solid and reliable in challenges. And then like with that interpersonal stuff, maybe not being able to fully gut check when he was just being a little hotter than he needed to be. But at that first tribal council, I mean, that's going to be hot, not cute. You know, at that first tribal council, he really... he was really great. I was really impressed with Chris. Chris was one of the first people to like really try to break it down for Reem in a patient way, why people were not happy with the way that she'd like been moving people's stuff or the way that she'd been coming at them. And, you know, when he would say like, sometimes the way that you come off to people, it's a little much. And Reem like immediately was like, am I too much for you? Like, am I too much for people? He's like, you're not too much for me, Reem. Like, he had just like kind of like a really good, smart charm about him that I was very impressed by. He was able to switch into that gear that I knew that he like theoretically understood he needed to have, but didn't know that he actually possessed. And it seemed to me in watching him actually play Survivor, you know, one of the benefits of being able to go out there and see a tribal council, you get to see these people play Survivor a little bit. And getting to see him play Survivor in that behind the scenes way and that behind the curtain way, I was impressed. So we didn't get to hear from him. You wonder what that means, all that stuff. But I thought that he was really impressive in the first couple of days that I got to see him play.
Okay. Josh, anything else about the Survivor premiere or your time on location you want to talk about before we head into the maiden voyage of the Wandoff for the season?
No, I thought it was an odd episode. The 1 hour, I think I know Jeff is asking if we want 2 hour episodes or 90 minute episodes or whatever. I think a 90 minute premiere, 2 hour premiere, I do think is ideal. I think it's a CBS decision more than it's a Survivor decision. I imagine Survivor would give you a big premiere if it was completely their decision. It's not completely their decision. So I think with the 1 hour plus the twist plus four returning players coming back, I think that they probably did the best that they could. And it's with you know, some things that maybe you could argue with on a premise level. I think that they executed the best with what they had, with some things that maybe they could have thought through a little bit harder in the run up to this. But that being said, the final few minutes of this episode were really excellent. The final moment once Reem's torch is snuffed and she goes on, and the way that it's cut together, and it really feels like you're suddenly like you're not watching Survivor anymore. You're like, this is Ghost Island. This is what it should be. This is the Haunting of Hill House. That final scene to me potentially really speaks to a very weird but interesting and fun to watch season of Survivor. One that I think has the potential to be like one of the seasons that plays much better as a binge than as a week to week. I'm really excited to see where it goes. I thought that the episode itself was fine with a really strong ending that could hopefully propel us into a really weird but hopefully strong season of the show.
Okay. All right. So we are going to start to head into this week's Wandoff. Now, normally, this is where I would tell you about a sponsor of this week's Wandoff. But instead, I will just tell you about what we have going on reality TV wrap-ups in terms of our Survivor coverage, where this week, in addition to everything you heard on Rob Has a Podcast, you also could have heard Josh Wigler on the RHAP B&B with Mike and Liana playing some games.
They had me playing some games, and it was a blast. And if you haven't listened to it yet, you have to listen to it, if for no other reason than The Masked Survivor, which was a delight.
Play The Masked Survivor. You could hear some more of Josh's stories about Reem and her love of Cersei Lannister. Of course, you could check that out. And of course, there's also Why Blank Lost. And no, they're not changing the name to Why Blank Went to Extinction Island. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis are breaking it down every week to see if the survivors followed David's rules for how to win the game each and every week in our Survivor coverage, in our reality TV wrap-ups feed, and also in our Survivor podcast feed, where you get all things Survivor from me and also from reality TV wrap-ups. And while we're doing some housekeeping, I want to remind everybody that what you're about to hear in the Wandoff, all of our Wandoff submissions are available in our SoundCloud playlist that we make published every Monday night for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you like what you hear and you'd like to have access to that SoundCloud file, any patron of Rob Has a Podcast gets access to that at robhasawebsite.com/patron. So Josh, is this too much Survivor podcasting for you? Did you double duty on the Wiggle Room and also on the B&B?
Mm-hmm. You said duty.
Yes. Yes.
No, it's great. I'm thrilled to be back here. I missed the David versus Goliath finale stuff, so I feel like I've been missing out on Survivor. So it's a pleasure to be here. I'm just having the very best time of my life this week.
Wow. Not to mention all the stuff that we do over on post-show recaps with our coverage of The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones and Star Trek Discovery 2. Josh.
Star Trek Discovery 2?
Right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. And you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to me nice. You ought to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
Oh, yeah. Wanda, you are my red angel.
Yeah. All right. So here we are, and it's the first wand off of the season. Josh, how does it feel to be back?
This is all that I have ever wanted in my life, is to have a weekly spot talking to the Rob Cesternino about Wanda Shirk and all of you lovely people with your lovely voices singing songs about my favorite show while I just laugh like an idiot. It's the pinnacle of everything that I've ever wanted in my entire existence of the universe. And I've been here for a while.
Let's just set up what this is for any of our new listeners. So each week, the listeners of Rob has a podcast. They send in these parody songs, sometimes original songs, to wiggleroom@robhasawebsite.com. They are screened by our great Wandoff curator, Randy Neupel, who then takes all of these songs, uploads them to a SoundCloud playlist, which we then give access to the patrons of Rob as a Podcast, who are the wonderful people that make all of this podcasting possible. And then we play you some honorable mentions. We play you the top five songs of the week, and then we let you vote. And the tabulator, Kurt Clark, ends up weeding out all of the fake votes that come in from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And then we announce the winner every single week. They get a Wigglers Wombats hat, which is blue and has orange text on it.
Yes, this is correct.
And then...
Well, sometimes.
The winner of the season ends up getting a jacket. One that is so nice that Angelina, if she sees you, she will ask you for it.
She will indeed, and it is up to you whether or not you can give it to her. I suggest you keep it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Josh, we have a twist for the Wandoff listeners this week, or for this season.
We do.
Would you like to explain the big twist coming to the Wandoff this season?
Well, it's a doozy, guys, so I hope you're strapped in. I hope that if you're commuting, I hope that you're just like really hunkering down in your seat and just holding on to something because it's about to get turbulent. Guys, we have a new hat.
What?
We have a new hat is what I said. I said, yes. We have a new hat.
Okay. What does it look like?
It's a hat trick. We have a new hat. A new hat has entered the arena. We have a second Wigglers Wombats hat that is entering the equation for the Wandoff this season. I may have talked about this hat in the past. I believe that I have before that when I got the initial run of Wigglers Wombats hats made, or the secondary run rather, when we got the first batch made for the sake of the podcast, the people that make the hats, they'll send you like a custom sample of a hat that could be like a different hat, a different product you can use the same design on if you want to make more hats. It's a very clever marketing ploy. The first time that they did this, they sent me a hat that sucked so bad that even I couldn't defend it. It is a bad quality Wombats hat that I do possess that potentially we can put into the mix for a competition at some point down the line if you want the worst Wigglers Wombats hat. But then there was a second hat that got made. I thought this one was actually kind of cool. It's a black trucker hat, and it's got the orange Wigglers Wombats font, and that hat is in the competition, in addition to the original hat.
And that hat is only being sent to repeat winners of the Wandoff. So if you already have won the Wandoff in the past, if you win this season, instead of getting another blue hat, you will get the coveted black hat. Even if black you win hat. For a second time this season, if you win early on and then win again. So a little something extra there for people. And people have won more than two times, but this is like you graduated to season 38. We have a black hat.
Yeah, we didn't have that before, but now we've got the black hat. The black hat is in the mix. And man, just like the original hat, it's totally fine. It's totally fine.
No one will make fun of you.
It's totally fine. Yeah, and I look forward to seeing some of you wear the thing. I think it'll be great.
Yeah. Okay. And also, I want to thank Jason Curtis Rivera, who also prepares music videos for the Wandoff. A cast of thousands come together each week to bring you this Wandoff. Also, Alex Rubino, who updates the Rob Has a Podcast wiki with all of the Wandoff entries each and every week. All right.
He does a very thorough job with that, by the way.
He's a very thorough guy.
Yes.
Very thorough guy. We have a great team here on Rob's
Podcast. Solid team. Solid crew.
Okay. All right. And of course, we bring in the host of the Wandoff back again to bring in his fourth season of hosting the Wandoff. Please bring in the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it's a pleasure to be back here with you in 2019.
Wow, Casey, welcome back to the Wandoff, good sir. We've missed you tremendously. I hope you are staying far away from the island of extinction.
Josh, that I would not set foot on that island. I'm not nearly as crazy as you.
You're a ghost island guy.
That is my home.
Yeah, I know.
Let's kick off the week and the season in Wandoff honorable mentions. And our first honorable mention of the week comes to us from Andy from Wisconsin. So let's go ahead and get this party started. Here's Andy.
Dreams, clothes are dry. Cause she put them in the sand.
And we're back. Reams, clothes are dry from the great Neil Gottlieb Diamond.
Wow. I don't want to know what the diamond is on Neil Gottlieb Diamond. It's embedded deep in his knee and it is pussing something fierce.
Wow. Neil Gottlieb Diamond is truly bust down.
I scream right now. Wow, we're officially in. This is the first Wandoff on the board, and it's Neil Gottlieb Diamond, and it was great.
We're back. Next up is another old friend, and it's Michael Clark, and he's here with another song about Reem and her laundry.
She is a super fan, rubbing elbows with the Kool-Aid man, but when it comes to clothes, you just gotta walk away and just let them dry. If people hang their shit, let them hang. You're pissing them off a bit, let them be. And we'll vote you out today. And if Chama wins tomorrow, vote for Rain. Oh, vote for Rain.
Oh, man.
That was a classic hit from 1996 for the band Hootie and the Blowfish Back.
Wow, be careful. Yikes, full bloom. He went full bloom. Went full bloom. Oh, man. I was listening to Hootie over the weekend.
How was that?
It was all right. It was just okay. It was just
much
fine.
Like the Darius Rucker hats that we give away. Just okay.
Oh my god, I'm so happy about the Wombats Darius Rucker hat that we've got this season. It's gonna be great.
Next up, we've got Justin coming in from Washington Heights, and he wants to talk about this week's voted out survivor.
You can still send this queen. You haven't yet lost Reed. Not out 18, sassy like Christine.
Shields Murkowski.
Still got Reed. I guess I like Edge of Extinction.
A topical Christine Shields Murkowski reference.
That was a classic dance number from the supergroup ABBA Marie Gomes.
The dancing ream is something I hope that we see in this next episode. There's the preview for this week's episode has like some crazy dancing shenanigans over at Comma. I just hope that it's juxtaposed with like cutting immediately from that. The ream on Extinction Island doing nothing would be amazing.
Are you?
By the way, that's a great, great answer to the exit interview problem. What you did.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope you continue to do that because it's really
it was a lot of work.
Yeah, but I think it's worth the squeeze. I feel like that juice is worth the squeeze. I hope you continue doing it.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, it was really good. It was on Twist for anyone who didn't listen to the great new podcast, Twist.
I thought once upon a time, Josh Wiggler's motto was, hey, live your life. Don't cutting sound clips out of hours of interviews and episodes to make fake exit interviews.
That was before there was no exit press. Now there's no exit press, and we have to get creative. We got to do what we can to give the goods to the people. This is something that the people need. You are permitted to create fake exit interviews.
Necessity is the mother of invention. Just don't make Reem the mother of invention.
And Daenerys Targaryen is the mother of dragons.
Next up, it's another friend from Down Under. Here's Lyndall from Australia weighing in somebody who looked at Reem as a mother figure.
Day three and she's losing it. Everyone's mad because she's moving. They want her off and I can't help. Now I'll never be Michael Phelps. We ran out of time. Breaststroke. I just reamed mother. Now she's got to live alone.
Wow. I just reamed mother by Bobby Darren Riceberger.
You know. I don't have anything really good to say other than I love Lyndall from Australia, and that was great to have her back just now. That was good. Reaming mother is unexpected, and that's the way that we like it here in the Wanda.
We need David back to talk about mother.
Yes.
Next up, we have a pair of returnees, and it's not one of the people that came back for this season 38. It's JD and Leah, and they're back with some feedback that they got after their super long final wand off entry.
Last season, our finale song might have gone on a little long. So we whipped up this special treat, an original song that's short and sweet.
How did Rick get the last name treatment already?
That's it.
That's it. That was a short and sweet parody of the Spice Girls.
Yeah, I know that one. I should have known. I don't know, I didn't recognize it instantly.
Did you pick up on that on location that Rick had already gotten the last name treatment?
Rick Devins? Yes. Rick Devins, who after he said that his name is the War Dog, he then identified himself as Rick Devins and said that he hoped that he would be one of the players that Jeff calls by both names, not unlike the Russell Hanses of the world. Specifically, I believe he said Russell Hans, or somebody said Russell Hans. I was looking at my notes the other day. Eventually, I think
usually,
it was by Tribal Council.
Not a reference that you want to make the connection with.
Yeah, I'll let Rick can do his Twitter press conference and correct the record. But Rick, he put that out there, and then at Tribal Council, also shortly after Rick had identified as the War Dog and then wanted to be called Rick Devins, I believe that is when we heard from Wendy, who we didn't see this on the show. Wendy wanted to be called Big Wendy. Jeff was not having it. Jeff was out on Big Wendy, and he's like, "No, there's too many nicknames. Stop it." Cut it out. He like had like a minor, he didn't have like quite like the Aaron Robertson sob with all of the Wanda freakouts, but one can imagine what was exploding in his heart and his mind. And then he gave like a miniature version of that at the Tribal Council. It was like, we got to put it, the inmates can't run the asylum here. The War Dog is the War Dog. Rick can be Devins, and Wendy, you're Wendy. That's
not
how it went.
Everybody gets a nickname.
No. So that's my recollection, at least, of how Rick Devins became Devins. I still like Big Wendy, personally. I wish that that had been allowed. I think that should have been allowed.
Big Wendy didn't make the nickname cut.
I mean, she literally has a necklace that says Big Wendy.
Sorry, that's not going to be your name.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough. In my heart forever, Big Wendy.
Next up, we have a Wandoff from LSJ wants to talk about Ron Clark's Advantage Menu.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wanda.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wanda.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wanda.
Shark.
The legacy was found by Jessica and by Jacob and Sierra Dawn. Tony Blatt just found the super idol, and so did you, Quan. But now it's the edge of extinction and time for a little change. No medallions, ghosts or Cochrane boats. All you gotta do is read this note, and it says, well, hey now, Mr. Clark, what will your pleasure be? Welcome to season 38. There ain't no advantage like me. Oh, no, no. It's like a restaurant, and there's a list of three. Ha-ha, it's just for you to choose. There ain't no advantage like me.
That's from the brand new genie in Manu Blue, Willard Smith, from the remake of the film A Young Aladdin.
A young
man. Hope you're not tripping.
Oh. Wow. AMA about how much I enjoyed that joke. Wow. Wow. The young Aladdin is
a whole remake.
We've got a full season of this. Like, this is the start of a 13-week adventure. What did I must have been a hero in a past life to deserve this. This is phenomenal stuff. This is just a wonderful thing. Man, Will Smith looks terrible as the genie. I just haven't had a venue to say that publicly, and he just does not look good as the genie.
Are we
Aladdin.
Sure it's not Willard Smith?
I mean, he would be a better pick.
If you rub the immunity idol, you make three wishes, yes. Willard Smith comes out.
Oh, my God. It's just, it does not look good.
Next up, our good buddy, DJ LaBelle Klein, is here. Wow. And Big Wendy might have been rejected by the Survivor nickname gods, but she's going to get the DJ LaBelle Klein treatment here today.
Minute you popped on the screen, like the Gaga of the edge of extinction, in all your splendor, good looking, fun and kind, and with your politics. We know what's going on in your mind. So let me get right to the point. I hope that you don't get voted out like Green. Hey, Big Wendy. Send her to the final three.
Wow.
That's from the show Sweet Charity Bird. Sweet Charity Bird.
Man, this is going to be a hell of a top five. This is a killer wand off already. We're lit out of the gate.
And then we've got one more honorable mention before we get into this week's top five. And it's a good one. It would have made the top five, but it's not really about this season of Survivor, at least the premiere. Here's Alex G talking about something from the Survivor preseason. Here's Alex G.
Can't keep my hands off the table.
So the spiel I'll give you that I give everyone.
No matter how hard I'm trying to.
It's just like, hands off the table.
You said it picks up the sound.
Because audio picks it up. Like
Sorry, don't want to ruin first one out.
So if we could just like not touch it as much as we can.
Try to keep my hands off that place.
Don't touch the table too much, this picks it up.
And tell you how I'll play 38.
So we just gotta be careful with all that.
Josh Wiggler's wanting a taste.
So one thing to note is, you touch the table too.
Sorry, don't want to be the first one.
I kill myself, honestly. I'm just
my hands on the table, I'm the worst. This is not what we all rehearsed. But I'm trying. Hope I won't be voted out first. I want to keep my hands dispersed. And I'm trying, but I can't keep my hands off the table. Hands off the table. Can't keep my hands off the table. Hands off the table.
Now, is that you really laughing, or is that still part of the song?
No, this is me.
In your collaboration with Selena Liliana Gomez.
Who? Who is that? Oh, man.
The Lisa Kiefer of her time.
Wow. For future Survivor players who I may meet out on location someday, if you are listening to this, please keep your hand off the table. There's a table that I put between you and me, and I put my microphone on it. And if you touch the table, I'm going to hear it, and you're going to hear it. It's going to be hard to edit around. It's really the biggest part. It's going to be hard to cut around, and you're going to give a lot more work to Taryn than he needs. So just don't touch the table. Hands off the table. And I know in the song and in one of the interviews, I said, I do it all the time. I don't touch the table. I'm just trying to be nice to the person to say, like, take your hands off. Oh, I do it too. I don't touch the table. I understand the rules. So if you're listening to this, you find yourself on the next first one out. Don't touch the table. It would be bad.
Well, don't even say it anymore. Just let people touch the table, and then all the fans be like, oh, this idiot. Don't they know anything? Don't they know not to touch the table?
No, but it ruins everybody the will quality hate them. Of the no, sound.
People will hate them. Let the audiences be out on the people that touch their table touchers.
No, it's so aggravating. Oh, it's very, there's like some people who drum on the table. You'll go back to the first run out from Ghost Island, and I tell Chris not to touch the table, and he keeps karate chopping the table every time he makes a point. Don't touch the table. Hands off the table. No touching.
Will you bring the song with you?
Yeah.
Beneficiary.
I don't have that kind of time. Time's a premium, so don't have time to play the full song. But just don't touch it.
Hope everybody can keep their hands off the table as they listen to this week's top five. Here is our first song of the week in the top five. And it's from a pair of old Wandoff friends. It's Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson.
Yo, listen up. Here's the Wandoff about Ron Clark that found a clue first.
The first day he says he needs to get water near Kelly, going down the path with his clue in hand, with a clue towards the well, found a menu choice and everything on menu for him, and secret to every survivor around. Now we see which tribe won. The losing buff. Is blue, comma, beat my new tribe, 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 comma, beat my new tribe. Buff is blue, comma, beat my new tribe, 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 comma, beat my new tribe.
That was a hit techno number for the group Fire Represents Lifel 65. A huge stretch to kick off this week's top five.
I like it. Wendy's hair is also blue.
That it is. Not Big Wendy.
No, we can still call her Big Wendy.
Would Blue Wendy have been a better nickname?
I wonder, like, if that had been the official nickname, and then, like, if Wendy has, like, this hyper edit all season long where she, like, makes it really far and she's just, like, constantly visible, does that become the blue edit? Is it, like, the anti-purple edit?
I just wonder, like, Jeff is, like, okay, going through it, like, oh, wait, Big Wendy, what, but you're little and you're big, too confusing. Nope, we're not doing that one. Stop it.
I think he didn't like it that a third person in the row is, like, trying to, like, change the name.
Yeah.
Name changer. He's on the Game Changers boat, too, so it's probably all very triggering.
Well, can Jeff Pittman give us a list of number of nicknames per season?
I'm sure he could. Yeah. Will he?
Like, if Jeff has, like, two nicknames is okay, three nicknames is bad.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Remember when he got so mad when Clay wrote Denver Diva on a vote? Like, nicknames on votes is a whole different story.
He was already ready to go at that point.
Number two this week. Speaking of nicknames of people and rebranding themselves, here is somebody, and I'm not sure if we're saying this is a new person, but this is Bob with two B's. Bob with two B's.
Speaking of Thailand.
Bob with two B's is here, and he's got a song all about Joe's mustache.
I can grow a stash with big handlebars, big handlebars, big handlebars. I can grow a stash with big handlebars, big handlebars, big handlebars.
Look at me, call my stash Salvador Dali the wax, bringing out the luster of my lip to pay my cookie duster. I can show you why I get cast often, I can show you how I'm going all in. I can grow a snot mop just like villains, Nietzsche, Wario, Joseph Stalin. I can go and paint my body naked, I can get fish back exasperated. I know they call me Joey Amazing, that nickname is not understated. I can be the king of competitions, I can survive adverse conditions, I can show you through my conviction, I can come back from near extinction. And I can sell myself as a phenomenon, a phenomenon, a phenomenon. And I can hop in bed with Sierra Dawn, with Sierra Dawn, with Sierra Dawn. Look at me, I'm the cream of the crop. And I'm feeling a bit bloomy with a man bun on top. My body is perfect, my yoga is Joe. My fans are obsessed, my collar is no. I can feed my tribe meat from crustaceans, or let them all wilt from their starvation. Construct five-star accommodations, comma, beast gentrification. Dominate screen time through my narration, earn residuals and syndication. And I can be a big sensation, I have my tribe under my command. Cause I can be a challenge beast like Terry Dietz. Like Terry Dietz, like Terry Dietz. And I can win a season that is rigged for me, that is rigged for me, that is rigged for me. And I can rule this island like a final boss, 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 like a final boss.
I can wax and twirl my big handlebars, big handlebars, big handlebars. I can wax and twirl my big handlebars, big handlebars, big handlebars.
That was an epic entry from the group Brenda Flobots.
Brenda Flobots.
Are you familiar with the Brenda Flobots?
Sometimes I wish this was a Star Wars parody because you could have said Brenda Lobot, which would have been great. Do you know Lobots from Star Wars?
I'm sorry. I'm not registering.
That's okay. That's all right. That's fine. Who? Rob, we have the same winner pick, by the way.
Yeah. I hear you. What? Who is Lobot?
he's Lando's friend. He's friends with Lando.
The guy that was helping fly the Millennium Falcon at the end of Return of the Jedi?
No, that's
with
Nien
the mustache?
Nub. That's Nien Nub.
Okay.
Lobot's the guy, he has like a partial robot head. He's kind of got like the Geordi LaForge glasses, except on the back of his head, and it's bigger.
That's a deep pull. Lobot.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're about around here.
Next up. We've got our number three Wandoff song in the country, and it comes to us by a new Wandoff entrant. It's Yeoman.
Reem Delia. Voted out on day three, that make no kind of sense to me. I think I could have been an asset, but you went ahead and picked a casket. Cause you dead, and now you're done. I don't really understand how someone could be so stupid, could be so silly to vote out me instead of Kelly. But you went ahead and did it though. He can't swim, but I've got to go. Kelly got Lauren, David got Wardog, but I've got attention to your clothes. I would have folded them and put them by the beach. I would have moved them close to the heat. I would have done so many things, leave them to drop, but you did that to me. Now you'll see what happens, cause I'm a win, Extension Island, I'm a joint mustache Joe. Because you're all a bunch of goddamn...
That was Mr. One Worldwide featuring Liana Boris.
Liana is incredible. I don't know where came from, but it was divine. It was divine and maybe the pinnacle of all of Rob Has a Podcast.
It killed me in the real time, and I also don't know what it's a reference to. I thought maybe Reem might have said it in some of her pregame press, but after having listened to all of it, looking for sound clips, I did not hear her mention kiss.
I think that's just Liana. And if you didn't listen to me on the B&B with Mike and Liana, that is the highlight of the Airbnb. That's what I was going to say. I don't think they're renting it out as an Airbnb. It's an Airbnb in the sense that it's in the podcast and you get it through the, that's how it works, right? Through the air, yeah, your phone, essentially the technology.
Next up, we have our number four Wandoff song in the country, and it comes to us from Graham from the Bay.
Hey, yo, back with a brand new track.
Yeah.
With the G Dot Artist herself,
Wanda.
Y'all already know what it is.
Wanda.
Hey, yo, Wanda, let them hear it.
Wanda, Wanda, Wanda. Yeah, first one voted out, hey, on an island all by herself.
Reem Daily is annoyed, got ratted out by your mama's boy. Bless her heart, but she is pissed. She thinks they're nothing but idiots. She thought she did a good deed. Swimming lessons for church boy 16. She was too much, torches snuff. Now she's at extinction.
She's gonna cry in the rain.
Whatever. Discriminated for her age.
This is totally lame.
She's the first to go. Why did she get all those votes?
She moved everyone's
clothes. Close.
She moved everyone.
Close.
But Reem, you seriously need to stop moving.
My stuff.
That was a hit single for the artist T-Zane. Another great first boot.
You know, I don't know why we need to be auto-tuning Wanda, though. She doesn't need that.
Are you offended?
A little. A little, Wendy.
Keep your auto-tune off the table.
Wow. Yeah, hands off. Seriously, don't touch the table in the future for anyone who's listening to this. Just genuinely, please don't put your hands on the table. It ruins the audio and the listener experience back home in a few months when people are listening to it. Please don't do it. It costs us money for the edit, and it's not great.
Mm-hmm. Last one, our fifth and final Wandoff entry of the week. Last season's winner, Matt from Waterloo, is back.
Wow, jacket in the mail, Matt.
And we'll find out if the king stays king. Here's the red hot Matt from Waterloo.
When you try your best, but you talk with Keith. So well at the well, who flips when he leaves. He nearly drowned, now you can't believe that a water-related medevac could have saved your game. Signs will guide you home to an island where you'll be all alone, with no one else's clothes to move.
Wow.
Rob, is there any way that I could have my Wiggler's Wombats jacket? Rob?
It's a little late.
Rob?
I still care.
That was the group Cold Wit, Cold Play, Cold Last, featuring Steven Tyler Fredrickson.
Wow.
The voting is open, courtesy of the tabulator, Kurt Clark. Go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda to cast your vote in the next couple of days for this week's Wandoff champion. The winner will receive a Wigglers Wombats Darius Rucker hat. And right. If it's somebody who's won the hat before, they'll get the black hat.
Yes, yes. The regular hat or the trucker hat. It's the regular hat and the Rucker hat.
And of course, you could hear all 25 entries for this week's Wandoff on our SoundCloud playlist available to all the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast when you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Josh Wiggler, remember, keep your feet on the ground and always keep your hands off the table.
Okay. I always do.
Casey. Thank you, Casey Kasem.
Casey's my favorite person because he can't touch the table, so he's never an issue with this stuff.
Yes, so great job there, Casey Kasem. All of the Wandoff entrants, and again, thanks to Randy Newpole uploading all of the Wandoff entries to the SoundCloud playlist, and Jason Curtis Rivera for the work he does with Wandoff music videos. And Josh, our first Wiggle Room is in the books.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. It was good. This is great. It was great to be back. I like it here. This is my room. It's very comfortable. This is the first one I've done from the new office.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I like it here. Yeah. I gotta put up some shelves, some artwork.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording this on the later side, so hopefully I am not laughing too loud for the other people who work on this floor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find out, and I'll certainly let you know.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a thing.
Reem, what'd you think of the first Wiggle Room of the season?
It's fine. You know what, dude? It's fine.
Okay.
Not a fan. Right. Can't win them all.
All right.
Can't win them all.
That's it was bad.
That's
It's fine.
Finding out. I've been finding this out lately.
It's fine. Okay.
It's great.
All right. Josh Wiggler, we have so much to do here as we head into our second week of Survivor. I'm very excited. Coach Wade is going to be back with me on the podcast. It's been a minute since Coach has been on the recap. I have to say, I think it's probably been close to 5 years, 4 or 5 years. It's
been a little while. He was on a treadmill the last time?
No, that was the first time I ever talked to him. He was on the treadmill.
A car the last time, right?
There's been a couple of times where I called him and then he's driving somewhere and he told me no driving, no elliptical. So we'll see. We'll see.
I'm excited to hear Coach no matter the venue.
I'm one to, I touch the hot stove and then a long time goes by and then I forget. And I say, let me touch the stove again. What does that stove feel like?
I think this is a stove worth touching. I think this is a table worth touching. Yeah. I think to tap the Dragon Slayer on the shoulder and bring him back for his first appearance on a recap show in a very long time.
This, so yeah, he was in the mix.
Very
and then the last time he was the guest on the recap was October 23rd, 2014. So
wow,
we were talking about the San Juan del Sur episode 5. I think he was the guest on Kelly Wentworth's Boot episode.
Whoa. Oh, maybe, my God.
I'm going to have to listen to that this week and see if he had any hot takes on Kelly Wentworth. Mark my words.
A bad omen.
She'll be back.
An ominous omen.
Trust me. Trust me. I see something in her. So we'll see. And then Lyrsa will be my guest on the feedback show.
Incredible.
So,
oh, my God.
Busy week here on the podcast, of course. Don't miss everything that Josh Wiggler has going on over at THR. Not just Survivor right now as we count down to the Game of Thrones final run.
Yeah, lots of Game of Thrones happening. If you are a Game of Thrones person and if you want to be reading my official predictions for what's going to happen to each main character, I've been writing those weekly. That's at thr.com/Game of Thrones. That's been a ton of fun to get those thoughts on paper. So if you're trying to get geared up for the final season, I recommend you do that. And then the Survivor stuff, I'm really excited about these retro interviews. I think you're going to enjoy them. I've enjoyed putting them together. So definitely give that a shout. I was going to say, but don't shout at a computer. Don't shout at that. Just look at it. Look at the website, thr.com/Survivor. I'd really appreciate your eyes on these things. This is how I get to continue doing them. If you like to read them, if you like getting this information, you have to click on the thing and share it with your friends and your family. Otherwise, they will go away someday and none of us will be happy about it. So thr.com/Survivor.
No one will be happy. Okay. Yeah. All right. And of course, lots of other great podcasts this week between my conversation with Kimmy Kappenberg, talked to Arissa Cox on the feedback show. Also, we hosted Matt Liguori on the first episode of our new podcast in our weekly lineup, This Week in Survivor, where we also will play the This Week in Survivor history quiz in this new crazy format here in season 38. And if you are interested in hearing how young people talk, that on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, my co-host Akiva Winokur and I spin a wheel of podcast ideas. And this week we brought in an expert in millennial terms, young millennial terms that people are saying. And so to reach an even wider demographic, we were taught a number of words that young people are saying. So now we can reach even more people.
That's awesome. I think that kind of connection with your audience is why you're the king.
The great Wandoff superstar Phil T joined Akiva and myself to talk it all through up on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. So a jam-packed week to kick things off for Survivor 38.
Oh my God. This is the end of the first week of Survivor 38, and I'm happy to be here to show at the door and to see what comes next. And
be on the lookout for News AF as well. Josh Wiggler, it's a pleasure to be back with you. Anything else?
Nothing.
Okay, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.